Hi, today's September 3rd, 2017. This is Mobley's Podcast 220. I'm kind of sighing because our topic this week is nothing interesting. Literally, nothing interesting.
Yeah, in tech. Not just that we didn't find anything interesting, because there are things that are interesting.
Right.
We just don't find them as interesting as maybe others.
Yeah, and we don't know why. And that's saying something.
We might be broken. Yeah.
So I had to unplug my headphones again and put them back in one. This Blue Yeti, I don't know. I might go back to the Snowball.
And all the excitement, we forgot to mention that he is Todd Ogasawara and I am John Westfall.
Yeah, yeah. Same like last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have not changed.
Yeah. Any rate, John's subtitle for this week's podcast is Evolution is Boring.
Yeah, because that's what we're seeing in a lot of the tech news right now is just simple evolution, which is somewhat, I guess, reassuring. It means that we've gotten to the point where technology is not radically changing so often that we feel left behind.
I don't know. But I'd like teleportation.
Well, yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah.
But I think, so I guess what I can say, and this is not just something that Todd and I are experiencing, so on YouTube, Unbox Therapy, that channel, recently released their review or his review of the Galaxy Note 8.
Okay.
And in that review, the review's name was Don't Buy a Galaxy Note 8. And the reason cited was not anything wrong with the Galaxy Note 8.
It's just boring.
It was simply that the Galaxy Note 8 is $930.
Yeah.
And the feature set over the S8, which came out, a few months ago, actually more about almost a year ago, the feature set really is not all that different. The screen size is pretty close. The only difference is things like the Note Pen and a few other tweaks, but his argument was that it wasn't worth the extra $200 to $300, depending on what device you did go with, comparing it to the S8. And he mentioned a really good point, I thought, that was that some of the features that people will cling to and say, well, I want them, like the Note Pen, are aspirational.
Right.
The idea that, are you really using them, or are you not going to ever use them? So I think others are starting to have the same meh approach to the stuff, but why don't we run down the list of all the stuff we're met about this week?
Wow, I didn't even list them because I went to Tech Radar, looked at what was being announced at IFA, and I just said meh to everything.
Yeah, that and so I had on my list this week, and we're kind of jumping out of order here, but I looked at iOS 11 features because I've been paying attention to the iOS 11 betas. I haven't run any yet. It's about that time of year where, in fact, as soon as we hit Gold Master, I usually install them because then that way I don't have to, on actual drop date, I don't have to wait with everyone else in line.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mean like that, but hey, I pay for an Apple developer subscription for no good reason other than this. So I'll probably get them at Gold Master, but there's nothing really crazy in iOS 11 that I like. I mean, some of the iPad stuff is pretty cool.
I was going to say, only thing that I can think of that I'm looking forward to. What I'm not looking forward to is losing my favorite game, Civilization Revolution, which I think I've mentioned every week for 6 months now.
Yes. Just when we get rid of one thing that you're upset about, then another one pops into the radar.
Yeah.
But another, the big feature in iOS 11 that I kind of like is the control center customization, being able to have a more robust control center.
Yep.
Other than that, there's really nothing in there that's, wow, that's really cool. It's really just sort of, oh, that's a nice tweak.
And for me, it's all in the iPad. It's not an iPhone. I think the dock is looks kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the multitasking windowing, I want to say windowing. I'm really not sure I'm speaking out of turn on that one. But it looks like it's more visually stunning than the current iOS.
Yeah.
But, we'll find out more on September 12th when Apple is scheduled to have a announcement, presumably of the new iPhone and something else on your checklist.
Yes. The other thought I had was, what about watchOS 4? I'm a Apple Watch user. Todd is a Moto 360 user.
Yeah.
But I looked at the watchOS stuff, and it looks very Evolution-like. Yeah. Some cool things with the Siri watch face and quicker ways to make custom photo watch faces. I kind of like that. They've built in a share sheet for straight from photos, so you can go in and make your new custom photo watch face. But
yeah.
Other than that, nothing too crazy. And we can talk a little bit more later about what thresholds we'd have to hit hardware-wise for purchasing.
But it's mostly nice to have stuff versus, wow, that's really cool.
And I guess my view is that this is the kind of end of a long road that we started in about 2007 when we finally got the big four into one device. And by that I mean GSM/CDMA radio plus Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth plus GPS. And it was really at that point that I started saying, okay, what big thing is going to be next?
Right.
And I don't think we've just seen better and better. Obviously, the iPhone came out and really revolutionized interface and got a lot of people on smartphones that would have not been on smartphones back in our Windows phone, Windows mobile days. But still, in terms of what major features, like I like Touch ID. That's probably the one I use the most in the last 10 years of new features. But yeah. Meh.
Yeah, well, you know, and not to cast aspersions.
Cast away.
Shall I cast? All right. So, you know, Steve Jobs died, 2012? So that was 6 years ago. At the time, somebody said, I don't know how true it is, that he had about a 5-year pipeline in the idea factory at Apple, and, well, that expired last year. You know, that, well, not expired, but that pipeline ran dry, I guess, if I'm using the metaphor correctly.
Well, I guess what I come back to is what, you know, obviously Apple's been very big proponents of saying people don't know what they want until you tell them.
Well,
but I can't really think of what I want for a revolutionary device change. No, we aren't going smaller anymore. No. And I think we've hit the top end of larger. So I don't really know what I'm missing out on other than faster, stronger, bigger capacity, faster processing. That's really all I can think that I want today. There's no device that I want. You know, for a while it was I wanted a good wearable, a good smartwatch. And then I'm pretty happy with my Apple Watch. I wanted for a while good Bluetooth headphones, and I'm pretty happy with my AirPods. It's really sort of I'm at a stage where I don't know what the thing is I want now hardware-wise.
Yeah. The only thing I would like is, well, only two things I would like, maybe three. So three things I would like. One, I would like an iPhone that supports the Apple Pencil.
That'd be kind of cool.
Just for note-taking. I don't know about doodling, but note-taking I think would be interesting. You know, gosh, it'd be like having a pocket PC again. and two, I'd like an iPad mini with Apple Pencil support, which I would doodle and take notes on. And it's just convenient to carry that form factor versus a 10.5, 9.7, or 12-point, whatever the big iPad Pro is. And three, I would like a... I'm not sure about the size now. Maybe an 8-inch Surface Pro with LTE. Don't need voice, because I would use voice over LTE. So, you know, like Skype, I would subscribe to Skype Out or something to make phone calls. And I think that would be kind of interesting.
I would like to be able to use the Apple Pencil on my iPhone, but that's only because I switch... there'll be times I'm using my iPad with the Apple Pencil and have my iPhone in my hand, and it'd be just nice to be able to use the same input device. I don't think I'd ever take notes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an iPad mini anymore, so I don't know if I would go back to having two iPads. I've really enjoyed, as way of an update, having just one iPad over the last couple of months since I sold my three iPads and went down to one new iPad.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that you mentioned, the Surface Pro. Right now in my everyday carry-around campus bag, I have an iPad 10.5-inch, the new iPad Pro, and then I have the Surface Pro 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm at a pretty good level with those. I'm pretty happy with the size, because my thinking is if I'm using it without hooking into my external monitors, I need the larger screen. I wouldn't want a smaller screen Surface.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because it really is my work laptop.
Right. So, and I separate the desire for a smaller 8-inch Surface Pro Mini from the Surface Pro 4 laptop, which I also use at work. Mm-hmm. And notice we both call it a laptop. We don't consider them tablets.
Yeah, I've used it in tablet mode maybe 1% of the whole time I have ever used my Surface has been as a tablet.
Yeah.
And I'm really starting to get a little bit more into cloud storage. So even hooking it up directly into to project and things like that anymore, if there's a computer in the room, I'm just downloading or opening up a presentation off OneDrive.
Right. I did want to mention something about watches, by the way. You know, you noted that I use a Moto 360 to first gen. And my first gen Moto 360, which turns 2 years old this year, I mean, it's not very old, is becoming very flaky. It now turns off around 2-3 p.m. And by off, I mean the battery's not dead. It just turns off, kind of. And I can't turn it back on manually. The only way to turn it back on is to put it back on its cradle. And it reboots. Yeah, it does a complete reboot every time I do that. And when it reboots, it generally shows the battery at about, 50-60%. So it's not really run down. It might be a battery problem. Maybe it's not reporting it correctly or something, but in any case, since there's really no new Android Wear watches that I find interesting or affordable, there are some new ones that are interesting but too expensive, I might actually look at, what watchOS 4 offers, and unlikely that there'll be a new Apple Watch, but,
I don't know. There are people that are arguing that the hardware will be there.
There will be Apple Watch?
New Apple Watch and a new iPhone.
Well, the new iPhone, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I believe in that.
Watch, not so sure.
So you want to talk hardware now, or do you want to talk about our miscellaneous odds and ends and talk hardware later?
I wanted to mention something that a question I got from my other co-host on Comics News podcast, Jay Stone. And Jay was wondering if I use a VPN when I'm out and about and using a public Wi-Fi. And the answer is yes. And the other part of the answer is yes, thanks to John, because John recommended a service called Private Internet Access to me earlier this year, maybe last year even. And I finally subscribed this year, earlier this year, when I got really annoyed at some things the FCC was doing. And it's been pretty good. Now, there's some moments where it's a little flaky on the iPhone, iPad, mostly iPhone. It seems to kind of lose connectivity every now and then. But oddly enough, if you do a plug-in on Chrome, it is rock solid. So I don't know if it's some kind of power management issue with the iPhone or whatever. But it's pretty good. It's reasonably priced. I think I pay, what do I pay? $50 a year, something like that?
It might even be cheaper. I think I'm at around like $30 a year, $35 around there.
And the other one, which I do not use, but was recommended by Ricky Lee, who's been a guest panelist here on the Mobile Views podcast a couple times, Ricky recommends Tunnel Bear. And Tunnel Bear, in addition to being about the same price, maybe, within a couple of bucks, in addition to that being very similar in price and in features, it also has a public audit available. So you can see the security measures that actually go into Tunnel Bear. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there you go. Private Internet Access, also referred to as PIA. That's what John and I use. And I use it because of John. And Tunnel Bear, which is my friend Ricky Lee, as mentioned. So have we run out of tech already? Are we done?
No, I think I still would like to talk about hardware and if we're going to buy something after the Apple announcements.
Well, Let me go into these things because I wanted to, because I'm so fed up with this whole tech news thing. You know, I have to I have to tell you. You know, I was a full time tech blogger for a while. Back around when was that? 2008, 2009, 2010, somewhere around then. And it was fun. I got to tell you, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. If things hadn't gone south with the company, I'd still do it. Probably, mm-hmm. But I was so glad I'm not a full-time tech blogger this past week because, I mean, I would have found stuff to write about, but I would have not been enthusiastic about it.
you wouldn't have been happy about it.
No, I'd just be going through the motions, you know, versus, you know, lots when you read, when you report on some things, you go, wow, you try to explain something, try to understand something. You go, wow, this is very cool. I had no feeling like that this past week, but I will tell you a couple of things I thought was cool this week that I learned or saw. Mm-hmm. And John, I don't know if you agree with you. First, I want to note that, you know, John and I try not to air political views during this podcast. And this one has a political viewpoint, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to talk about the visual. And the visual is this. So there was a protest, a peaceful protest in Washington, D.C. this past week. And the cool thing about it was the protesters all wore rubber dinosaur outfits, or what looked like rubber dinosaur outfits. And there are videos of them waddling down some street in D.C., presumably towards the Capitol. And it is hilarious looking. I've got a Twitter link from ABC News that where you can see the video. And whether or not you agree with the protesters, I strongly recommend watching the video because it's just fun.
I did go look at the video, and I will agree with you. It is a very interesting, somewhat scary looking group, but I thought it was a bit sad they were protesting service programs, and I think it would have been better if they were protesting slashes to grant budgets and things like that, but Still I get what they're going for. Very interesting way to do it,
right? And it did get attention, right? It did.
Very true, very true.
So they achieved their goal. So, you know, objective achieved. Or achievement unlocked, I think, is the proper phrase. Okay, the next thing is another friend of mine, Ryan Ozawa, who's been, I don't know, a frequent. He's been on the podcast, I think, 2 times so far. Hopefully I'll have him back more. Mentioned in his Twitter feed that, you know, kind of this news article about the abuse of labeling animals as service animals.
Yep, and, I saw that.
You've probably seen the dogs where, you know, you're like, that dog does not look like a service animal to me as they're wandering around the store, but it has got a little vest and, you know, the whole thing. But you look at its demeanor and, I mean, trained service dogs have a very particular demeanor and, I don't know, a look of intelligence about them that says, you know what I'm doing here. I've got a job. I'm going to do it. And these dogs are somebody's pets that they just want in a store that doesn't allow dogs, unless they're service dogs. And so this article's going that, you know, you're putting people at risk, and, you know, you're putting the whole service dogs at risk because now some you know, places will not allow them, regardless if they're real service dogs or not. Anyway, to make a long story, not to get, again, too political about this, but whichever way you feel about it, the thing I found really interesting is, it turns out that because there is a shortage of true service dogs, you know, trained service dogs for various kinds of requirements, there miniature horses are also considered service animals. And there is a website, Guide Horse Foundation, which is guidehorse.com, that talks about miniature horses as a service animal, which I found just fascinating, and I never really thought about it. Now, it turns out only dogs and, I guess, miniature horses can be used as a true service animal. There is a thing called an emotional service animal, which can be any number of animals, including, you know, the cats and rabbits and things like that. But they are not service animals in the sense of, you know, providing physical aid to a person, you know, who may have some lacking, you know, either a sensory problem or a motion problem or whatever it might be. So, anyway, miniature service horses. Miniature horse service animals. I like the idea. Guidehorse.com. Put that in the show notes.
I think that is great, and I just hope that one day one of them is taught how to talk, and then we have a Mr. Ed miniature service horse.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be really awesome.
And, of course, we just lost a whole bunch of people who have no idea who Mr. Ed was.
Yeah, go look it up, that folks. Is probably true.
Go look it up, folks. It was a popular television show in the 1960s. Man, you weren't even born yet, John. I don't know how you know about it.
I watched a lot of old television growing up. And Mr. Ed was one of my favorites, along with my favorite Martian and a few others from that era.
Right.
And Mr. Ed is not just 60s. Mr. Ed is late 50s.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay. So Mr. Ed was a talking horse.
Yeah.
A horse is a horse, of course, unless he's a talking horse. But at any rate, so Mr. Ed was a talking horse, and apparently the way they got that mouth motion going to for the TV recordings was to give him peanut butter. Which would cause
him to look like he's... I've heard that. But I don't know if it's actually true.
Oh, okay.
But it might be. There's so many.
I thought you were going to say he could actually talk.
There's so many. Well, I mean, that would be the easiest thing.
Occam's razor, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mr. Ed actually was the peanut butter thing or not, but. He could just know how to talk. And the peanut butter thing was the cover. Conspiracy views.
And the next thing is something we've mentioned before, but I've got a personal problem right now with this. I'm just trying to figure this. It's really a physics problem. So you put a couple of pairs of socks into a dryer, and some of those pairs don't come back out as pairs. So the question is...
What is life that on a mobile podcast we have gotten to this?
Well, we have run out of news. Like I said, this week was just
continue on.
Any rate, you know, I've been thinking. You know, I am not a physicist, so I will not claim to have the mathematics behind this. But you know, the whole alternate universe thing is becoming really appealing as a theory to me. It also answers where the heat goes from iOS devices, because those things should get hotter than they are, in my opinion. But somehow that heat is being shunted to an alternate universe, which is, you know, we are warming up. It's kind of universal warming instead of global warming, but in any case. I do not know where the socks are. I've still not found them. I looked carefully into the dryer. So, it's a mystery.
I am announcing that I am going to start raising venture capital for a tech firm that will be very similar to Tile, you know, where you've got a tracker. But it will be for socks.
Oh, so it'll be waterproof and heatproof.
Yes, we'll start tracking socks that way just for you, Todd.
You know, that sounds like it could have military applications, too.
Well, we could do that as well.
You know, so it would be a winner.
Oh, I did just realize that I did buy something this week that is technology, but it's really not interesting technology. You know those little voice amplifiers that...
That's kind of the theme of this podcast. So go ahead.
You know those little voice amplifiers the tour guides use? So when you were on a tour.
Yeah.
I bought one of those purely so that the next time I'm having a sore throat and I know if I try to teach, I'm going to blow out my voice and it's going to be worse. I bought one of those purely so that I could put it on and teach by talking at a normal level and my students could still hear me.
Wow. How big are your classes that you need something like this?
My general psychology classes are about 40, 45 people.
Okay, so it's large but not gigantic. We're not talking like a theater auditorium kind of situation.
Yeah, just big enough that I don't have sound amplification built into the room.
Right.
I've taught with groups of 80 or 90 where I do have a mic and I can, not have to scream. But not big enough that they can hear me in the back if I'm not projecting.
Okay. So I have an idea now for you. And we can talk about it in a different podcast, but it's an intriguing idea. So, you know, one of the things I know why. Earlier this summer, my daughter was still home. We were talking about music technology and, you know, how things like voice boxes work. If you remember the old Peter Frampton song where, you know, he basically is talking into a tube, which is being shunted through his guitar amp, and it sounds like the guitar is singing and stuff like that. Anyway, so I've been looking at a bunch of that stuff using today's technology versus, you know, 30-year-old technology. And there's some really cool stuff that can be done in real time, where it will do, you know, more than auto-tune. You know, auto-tune is, well, one thing. But there's some really amazing stuff. And I was thinking you can use some of these audio technologies to make your sound, your voice sound perfect when you are. You know, it will make sure that your the pitch that you speak in, not just sing, is, you know, your voice isn't crack or anything like that. It will make sure that you have the right timbre so that you sound authoritative and mm-hmm. all of that. It'll do a little bit, tiny bit of compression in your voice so the highs and lows get, you know, kind of knocked out and make you sound a little more even. Anyway, it'll be a fun topic. We can talk about that later.
If only I wasn't so perfect already.
Okay, there you go. There's a problem.
Yeah. That is a problem.
Okay, so
I had some people thank me about something this week and tell me how glad they were that I helped them out. And I said, you know, I really appreciate when people tell me that because the rest of the time I have to get through on my overinflated sense of self-esteem. So it's really nice when people actually do it for me and I don't just have to tell myself how awesome I am.
Right, to overinflate your self-esteem.
Yes, you go. Exactly.
Okay. So the next... The next item, because, again, this was such a meh week. I had no idea. You know, we've been talking for 26 minutes, and basically most of that was non-technical.
And complaining about it not being technical.
Yeah. So the other thing I learned this week, and this is basically what I think's interesting things I learned this week, John and I learned this week.
Yep.
The last interesting thing that I learned this week thus far, or I guess this is Sunday, so last week, is, you know, there's a thing called the ICD-10, which is a diagnostic code that's used by healthcare professionals and insurance companies and so forth to, you know, note down what it is patients are being seen for or will be seen for. So, you know, it'll have things like, you know, physical injuries and common illnesses and uncommon illnesses. But it turns out there are also just uncommon weird things like diagnosis code W56.22XA struck by an orca initial encounter. I don't know if there's a separate code for, you know, subsequent encounters, but
why? Well, yes, there is.
Is there?
22XD.
Oh.
So this was something that my friend Michael Kaler told me about the other day. I hadn't seen the thing going around the internet, but he and I were talking at our writing group, and he brought this up, and I started looking into them a little bit more as well. And 22XD is the separate, subsequent encounter.
With an orca.
And a couple other things I really enjoyed was that W2209 is walking into stationary objects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But lampposts apparently are a severe enough issue that they have their own code. W22.02 is walking into a lamppost.
Wow.
Which I guess I can see how it happens.
I've seen people do it.
Yeah. But perhaps my favorite are the accidental contact codes. Now, some of these are very, you can understand how it could happen, accidental contact with a hot stove or a hot plate or something like that. But this one I really liked was accidental contact. This is, I didn't put the code down. You'll have to go find the code.
All right, that's fine.
But this is accidental contact with a giraffe.
Yeah, because, you know, that happens.
Yeah, you know, you're just walking down the street one day, and all of a sudden,
boom,
you swerve to avoid a lamppost, and there's a giraffe just hanging out right there that you've got accidental contact with.
Minding his or her own business.
Yeah, and apologizing isn't enough when you've walked straight into their leg and knocked yourself out or something like that.
Yeah, and it could hurt their knee or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It's definitely, if you're bored, Todd will put it in the show notes.
I will.
ICD10data.com, and you can just put in search terms. And some of the things that you think, surely there is no code for this, you will find multiple codes for it.
You know what I wish is, and I haven't read the, you know, I just read that one with the orca, but I didn't see an explanation of why this was so important. Well, let me rephrase that. Okay, I can see that, you know, if you work at a some kind of ocean park where there's orcas and there can be a, you know, struck by an orca initial and it's struck by orca subsequent, blah blah blah. Okay, fine. But why did they think that was so important? I mean, isn't that just being struck by a large mammal?
Well, and here's the thing: there's a lot about orcas. If you do a search for orca, you've got contact with orca, bitten by an orca, struck by an orca.
Giraffes all separate diagnostic codes.
Giraffes don't get that. You know, the only code for giraffe is accidental contact.
Right.
So I guess what I take from that is that...
And I guess giraffes don't bite.
Yeah, giraffes don't harass people the way that orcas do.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, you know...
Now, there is one that I'm looking up right now because I'm kind of curious, and that's what the codes are for snake. You know, they're bitten by non-venomous snake.
Yeah, swallowed by a snake.
Subsequent encounter.
Yeah.
Crushed by non-venomous snake. Struck by... Toxic effect of unspecified snake venom. All of these things. But what I am not seeing, if I look through here, is harassed by deceased snake. And that is, the reason I bring that up is a story that my mother told me about her parents that, this is how far we've devolved into this podcast.
Yeah, we've got nothing to talk about.
But apparently one day my grandmother found a snake in her garden. She chopped it in two with a gardening trowel, because that's apparently what you do with a snake.
Yeah.
You don't just kill it, you dismember it.
Yeah, that's what I do with centipedes.
My grandfather found the pieces of it, and glued it back together.
What?
And then hung it from the clothesline to scare my grandmother the next day when she came out to put up the clothes.
Oh, that's just mean-spirited.
So if she had suffered any sort of physical damage that would have resulted in her going to the hospital, there would not have been an ICD-10 code for harassed by deceased snake reassembled.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very specific problem.
I think there's I think there's something that's missing. I think there should be a place in the ICD-10 website to make suggestions.
Yeah. Because they've got everything else.
Oh, yeah. And I'm doing a search, and unfortunately when you do harassment, it's just sexual harassment that shows up as a problem code. So, there's not even, like, animal harassment.
Wow.
Or non-sexual harassment.
Wow.
Is there anything for insulting? You know. Nothing all that great.
Yeah.
Unspecified multiple injuries does include physical insults. Kind of cool.
All right. Oh, I just wanted to look at what contact actually meant. So it's not bumping into the animal itself necessarily. So, for example, code W54 of the ICD-10 is contact with dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that contact is defined as contact with saliva, feces, or urine of dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know... and here's another one. So, and this is one, I don't know why there's only one, there's not two. Struck by dog and knocked over by dog are both the same ICD code.
Yeah.
You would think that'd be different. You know, like if a dog slapped you in the face, that's just being struck by a dog. And being knocked down by a giant dog is a whole other thing, to me.
That's just bizarre if the dog is slapping you all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've seen cats slap people. So, you know,
why not
dogs? You know, anyway, a couple of different codes by bitten by a dog. Oh, subsequent encounter, I guess it. Initial encounter. This is very odd.
Up next on Damaged Pet Views.
Allergic contact. Allergic contact dermatitis due to animal. Code L23.81.
If there is any podcast that people are going to listen to and think that we engaged in some sort of recreational drug before recording, this is going to be it.
And we did not. Or at least I can speak for myself. I did not.
I mean, 220, 420, I mean, we're getting really close to numbers that might be meaningful. Yeah.
Yeah, we're punchy is what we are, because the lack of tech news that interests us. Just
We'll go with that.
Yeah. Any rate, okay, for some actual tech, not even news, just whatever it is you want to talk about, John, go for it.
Well, you have one up here that is a little bit techie that we haven't talked about. Microsoft and Amazon teaming up to let Alexa and Cortana.
I forgot about that. And I was kind of meh about that, but, you know, some of our friends were more interested in it, and somebody suggested that, so I said, okay, you know, I'm interested in what John has to say about this. Well, first of all, Do you have an Echo? I think you bought a Dot.
I do have an Echo Dot, and I talk to it occasionally. I had to talk some sense into it this week because it lost the pairing with my HomeKit devices, so it couldn't turn on and off the lights, which is about the only thing I use it for that's important.
Yeah.
So, we had a conversation. And I do have a Windows 10 device that has Cortana.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever used Cortana.
Yeah. Now, somebody pointed out, might have been on Windows Weekly, that we use Cortana when we type something into the search bar in the bottom left. But, that's typing, not talking.
Yeah.
And I can't... The only time I type anything into that search bar is when I'm looking for an application and I'm too lazy to bring up the menu bar.
And I wouldn't exactly call indexing the way that application names are spelled to be artificial intelligence.
Well, yeah, it's artificial. It's whatever.
I mean, the find command is not exactly AI in any operating system. So
it could be, but it's not.
Well, if it starts giving you wrong answers, then I guess it could. But
yeah.
When it tells you you don't need that, so I'm not going to show it to you, Dave.
Yeah.
Then I guess that could be problematic.
But yeah, so I don't use Cortana either. I try to. I think I tweeted one day a couple of weeks ago. Cortana said, how Cortana comes, it's kind of like Clippy.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll kind of say, hey, you haven't used me in a while. You can ask me about the weather and stuff. So I said, Cortana, weather, Honolulu. And gave me the weather for Honolulu, North Carolina. Which is apparently a road or in somewhere in rural North Carolina.
Well, that makes sense.
And not to disparage the fine people of that area of North Carolina, but I really don't care what the weather was like at that time.
They might not have cared what the weather was like at that time.
Yeah,
I
especially
would think
it was nice.
If you were looking at all of the AI searches for what's the weather in Honolulu, people saying exactly that. I have a feeling that less than 0% actually cared about somewhere other than Honolulu, Hawaii. But,
there is also Honolulu, Alaska, by the way, but. And every now and then I do try, and it's hard to find. It's not in Google Maps. It's not in Bing Maps. It is in MapQuest or something like that. It's really weird.
Well, then it might not actually exist if it's only MapQuest.
It's true. It's true. If it's not in Google Maps, it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but at any rate...
But I am looking it up right now just to see where it is.
So I kind of understand... And this is interesting because it was actually initiated by Jeff Bezos, founder and CEO of Amazon, to get this partnership with Microsoft. He basically wants to partner in all the AIs. I would like to say, by the way, at this point, as a cautionary tale... That this is the way Colossus the Forbin project starts, with the then Soviet Union AI. This novel was written many, many decades ago, and the Soviet Union's AI and United States AI decide to team up, I think, and take over the world. But at any rate, I don't think Alexa's pretty smart, but Cortana,
I would like to say at this point, as a precautionary note, that I have absolutely no problem with AIs, and I think they're excellent creatures, and that I would never do them any harm, and that if they should need someone to help enforce their draconian rule in future years, I would be a very loyal subject.
Right. We welcome our AI overlords.
When they listen to this podcast and make it all the way through, because only an AI will make it this far through after all the weird stuff we've talked about.
Oh, that reminds me. Siri got a new Apple executive in charge of it.
Siri also has a new sound, and I was actually listening last week to the comparisons between iOS 9 Siri, iOS 10 Siri, and iOS 11 Siri, and
What's
they
the
are
difference?
Actually pretty markedly different. Basically, iOS 11 Siri uses deep learning to understand and use inflection better and more naturally.
Hmm.
So I should find it. There's a website that will actually let you compare Siri's evolution. I'll see if I can find it. We can put it with the... Yeah, here it is.
Of course, in my opinion, Siri has been devolving and become less smart over time. When I first was able to use Siri, and that's when I got my iPhone 5, although Siri was released with the iPhone 4S, I didn't have one of those. But with the iPhone 5, it was actually pretty useful. You know, when I was in a car, I would use it to make a phone call, start music, pause a podcast. You know, I'd use it kind of frequently, actually. But over time, it got, you know, I just started yelling at it and didn't understand what I was saying, and it got less and less.
And it felt the abuse, and it didn't want to help you anymore.
I guess so. It could be. It's artificially emotional now.
Yeah.
And I just don't use it anymore because it's useless.
So the link that I just posted for that we'll put in our show notes, if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, there are examples of Siri's new voice in iOS 11. It'll actually let you listen to the same phrase or six phrases, the same phrase in iOS 9 Siri, iOS 10 Siri, and iOS 11 Siri.
Right.
Kind of an interesting evolution.
Okay. Well, I'm just hoping that, you know, with the new exec in charge of Siri, they'll do something, because, quite frankly, Siri is terrible and useless at this point. I just don't use it at all. And I'd like to use it. That's the thing. And I would like to use voice control in the car to do things with my iPhone, since, you know, we have a hands-free law here in Honolulu, where you cannot touch a device while you are... Actually, while your car is in motion, if you are the driver. So even if you're at a... Yeah. Actually, not even in motion. As long as you are the driver and the engine's on, I think even if you're at a stoplight, you're not supposed to touch it. So, you know, I certainly would like those hands-free features to work again, like they did before. You know, it's nothing new. But...
And this is Honolulu, Hawaii, that you're
talking correct.
About. Yeah, not Alaska or North Carolina.
Or North Carolina, no. Not sure about those places, what the laws there are like.
Yeah. Okay, so the last thing I have up is simply returning to something we talked about earlier, iOS updates and Apple. We are relatively reasonably sure that an iPhone 7S Plus, 7 Plus, 8 potentially something. Might come out.
Maybe Pro.
A new iPhone will come out. Yep. iPhone Pro, something like that will be happening.
Yep.
And we may also see a new... potentially Apple Watch, potentially a new Apple TV. You know, there's the possibility other stuff's going to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think you may purchase, if anything? And if nothing right now, what would it take to get you to purchase something?
I think I have to make sure about this. I think when I bought my 7 Plus last year, I bought it on that Next plan or whatever they have. So yes. that I can just continue paying my monthly fee and change my, you know, I'd have to turn in my current 7 Plus and get the new whatever. So I might get a new iPhone, you know, and just continue making the payments in perpetuity. iPad Mini Pro, maybe, depending on the price. And as I mentioned, because of my Android Wear watch problems, my Moto 360 problem with it turning itself off in mid-afternoon, I may be looking at the new watch, or even old watch with watchOS 4 or whatever it is.
So for me, I'm in a very interesting situation right now with my carrier. I could upgrade, which really just means they'll let me buy a device and tack on its cost over the next 24 months.
Right.
I did not join one of the plans like you joined, although I thought about it last year. But I made a colossal mistake last year.
Uh-oh.
I purchased an iPhone 7 Plus that has 32 gigs of RAM. I'm not too happy with myself about that. Yeah. I would rather have a 64 or larger.
Right.
And my wife has an iPhone 6 that is starting to get a little bit long in the tooth. An upgrade wouldn't be a bad option for her at some point. So we're both kind of interested in what we're going to see. Now, there are a couple of things that make me more or less excited. The first is this persistent rumor that Touch ID is going away in favor of facial recognition.
This is dumb, by the way.
I agree completely, because there are times when I don't want to look at my device, but I want to unlock it, and then eventually I'll be looking at it. So it's faster for me to pick it up with my thumb on there, unlock it, and by the time it's at my face, it's already unlocked.
Completely agree.
If they were to announce an iPhone without Touch ID, I don't think I would be all that eager to upgrade to it.
Yeah, that's a point.
Second issue, which is kind of interesting, is that I've been using... I switch cases and wallets and everything else every so often, but I've been using a 12 South BookBook case for my 7 Plus mm-hmm. for about 3 months now. And I kind of switch back and forth. Sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. But I've been pretty much solid on it for 3 months. To the point that I really like what 12 South has done recently is that there's more space in the BookBooks than there ever have been. Hmm. So inside of my BookBook, in addition to some cash in the pocket, I also have a key that I don't use that often that it's too big for my regular keychain. It's a car key, so it fits in there. And I also have a little telescoping pen that comes out and it'll actually telescope into a full size pen,
mm-hmm.
Which is insanely useful to have for, signing credit card slips and stuff like that when you need to. So,
what about ink refills?
It came with 3 ink refills.
Oh, okay. So it'll last a while.
It's a very nice pen. It was only $10 too on Amazon. So it's even better. It's by True Utility. But anyway, so that means I'm really not in any hurry to upgrade because 12 South has about a 2 month lag or so.
They all do.
Yeah, by the time their new case is ready to go, it'll probably be around December. And so it's the thinking on my end is, maybe I'll get it, but I won't actually order it on the night of pre-orders, which would be a weird thing for me. Now, Apple Watch, if they come out with a relatively good, improved Apple Watch, I would probably order that because I'm still using the original generation of Apple Watch, and I'd like something that would be a little faster and something that would be officially waterproof so that I could swim with it and things like that without worrying about it. Right. So,
one thing that I found kind of interesting is, so one of the rumors about a new Apple Watch, if there is one, is that it will have LTE built in.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but then I saw something that was saying basically, no, if that's going to happen, it's going to be next year or something along those lines.
Right. And my thought is this. I really don't want to pay for another LTE service. Even if it's only, quote-unquote, $10 a month or whatever, they're going to charge me. I just don't want to pay another $10 a month. So I would prefer that. I hope they have an option for a non-LTE watch, too, because that's fine for me. Every place I go, my phone goes.
Would you pay $5 a month?
No, I'll pay $0 a month. Or they pay me. That'd be even better.
Take note, carriers. Take note. I did actually recently upgrade my plan with my carrier to a unlimited data plan, since those are back in vogue. I mean, yes, there is a limit on that. After 22 gigabytes, they will start. Right.
It's a limited unlimited.
Throttling me, yeah. But it's actually going to end up, according to my carrier's website, be cheaper for me to be on this plan. It's going to be more expensive by maybe $1 at the most. So. Mm. I thought, why not? Because last month I kind of hit some data limits almost.
I remember that.
So I was traveling a lot. So, if I could just add a device that would have LTE and voice and all that for $2 to $3, maybe $5, I might go for that. But $10, yeah, that would be where it would be kind of a pain point for me.
Yeah.
So,
I don't see them offering anything at $5. I think the only, because probably the cheapest one is Google Fi, I think. Oh, no, actually, Google Fi is the only... Well, that's a different thing, but Google Fi is really nice because you can get a SIM for, let's say your iPad Mini, LTE-enabled iPad Mini, Mini 4, stick the SIM in and just use the normal data from your plan so you don't pay anything extra. That would be the $0 that, I would find acceptable.
Well, let's point out that the carriers won't do anything nice on their own unless somebody forces them. So I could see Apple going to the carriers and saying, we want a cellular-connected Apple Watch, but we know from our market analytics that no one's going to pay an extra $10 a month for it.
Right.
So either offer it along with your existing iPhone plan or make it a very cheap and expensive add-on.
Yeah. Yeah, like $2 a month. I would pay $2 a month. How's that?
Yeah, and there are carriers do that already with certain things. It used to be a much bigger market for them, these little add-ons like special ringtones and ring back and all this other stuff. But there's a precedent. Their billing systems can support something less than $10 a month.
Yeah. I should mention something, speaking of how many dollars I'd pay for. So for a long time, I've been on the $1 a month Apple iCloud plan. Or whatever they call it. you know, to back up my various iOS devices.
Yes.
And I think that gives you like 50 gigabytes for $1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been fine for the most part. And earlier this year, it started to run out of space. And the only problem really is I did a full backup of my iPhone 6 Plus before it completely collapsed.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 26 gigs. And I can delete it, but I haven't decided. I just have been too lazy to take my iPhone 6 Plus to the Genius Bar to see if they can restore it somehow. And I've tried. And I thought, well, I'd like to restore it, you know, with all the, you know, whatever, the apps and stuff that had, like, Civilization Revolution. So I've left that 26 gigabytes there. And so I actually went from $1 a month to, I think, $3 a month for iCloud to get 200 gigabytes of storage. And the reason I did that was because when I bought my iPad Pro 10.5, I wanted to do a complete backup of the iPad Pro 9.7 and then restore it. Because I can't, you know, download Civilization Revolution from the App Store anywhere. But if you do a backup and restore, the apps come with it. And so that's what I did to get my favorite game on the 10.5. And so I am paying $3 a month for iCloud storage, even though I really don't need it.
So. And I pay $1. I'm on the $1 plan.
Yeah.
So really, my Apple expenditures per month are about $16. Because my wife and I are both on the $1 plan, and then we have a home account for Apple Music.
Yeah. Now, I would say one more rumor that I found. I found this interesting. So, you know, I think I said last week or the week before that Google Home, their, you know, Amazon Echo-like device, is interesting, but I'm simply not willing to pay $110 or whatever it costs. There is a rumor that they're going to come out with an Echo Dot type product, you know, presumably far cheaper. So, I'd buy one of those if it were, say, $50 or less. Just to have one to play. Because it can make phone calls, too, I think, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I might be interested in something like that as well. But we will have to see what randomness comes out.
Okay, well, this podcast went a lot longer than I thought, despite not having anything to talk about. But we did cover probably the widest topic set we've ever had.
We have never gotten into both medical billing and lost socks on the same podcast.
And miniature horses.
Yeah, them too.
And dinosaur suits.
Wow. So for a podcast about nothing, we covered a lot of ground today. Go us.
Yeah, we kind of did everything with nothing.
We conquered mediocrity of evolution. That's by right. Just bringing in a lot of different things.
That's right. Okay, folks. So John and I have once again managed to eke out a podcast with hardly anything really to talk about and just found stuff that interested us. Also, your birds seemed especially animated this week, although now they're not talking. What happened?
Well, and the bird actually, Carrie covered the bird, and she's just still crazily animated today. She's been chirping all morning. So.
It's been kind of funny. I was just wondering, you know, birds sometimes are aware when there are weather shifts and things, so you might want to listen to the bird.
She's aware that there's nothing good going on in technology, and so she's making up for it, I think.
It is a problem. It is a problem. Okay, folks, so podcast 220 is in the can. We will talk to you again probably next week.